We are about to convene the meeting. We believe we have a quorum. I'm going to ask, first I should announce that this is the December 6, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. And again, believing that we have a quorum, I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll. R. Paul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Chris Corey? Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden? Dawn Kelly McPherson?
I'm here in body and spirit.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, that's eight. You certainly have a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. So that brings us to adopting the agenda. I will read the agenda. Number one is convene meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, minutes for 3 minutes. Number six, a report from the executive director with question and answers, 30 minutes. Number seven, August financials. Number eight, central services formula for 30 minutes. I didn't put a time on August financials. R. Paul, could we make that, 10 minutes? If we need more, we can get it. Central services formula is number eight for 30 minutes, and then we adjourn to an executive session. Is there any discussion?
Is there any time certain we're adjourning to that, or just whenever?
I think we ought to play it by ear and see when we get to it.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Hearing none. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that done. Now we have the chair's announcements. They're very brief tonight. Tonight we will hear a report from the executive director and review and discuss the continuing cash flow and payroll situation. We'll also review Pacifica's August financials and the central services formula. There are no other new announcements. Now we go to minutes, number four. R. Paul, we have minutes, I understand.
Yeah. I move that we approve the minutes of the November 1st, 2022 NFC meeting, public session NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? I have something I want to mention. Is there anybody else who has anything? I am going to go to them so I can be accurate. Okay. Here we are. Okay, so there was one thing here, R. Paul. Let's see, where is it? Forgive me, should have had this better position. In the subject under 9:03 p.m. Eastern Time, it says the chair said that we'd approved the KPFT draft fiscal year 23 budget, but it didn't have the tabs. This new spreadsheet has them. And I think what I actually said was, and this could be added by just adding a word, that we had provisionally passed the KPFT draft budget pending the provision of the tabs. I think when we passed it,
we provisionally approved the KPFT draft FY23 budget.
Yeah, more or less the way we've been doing with the other ones, pending the arrival of the central services formula. We passed it, but we weren't ready to send it to the PNB until we got the tabs. That
the chair
question
said
came
that
up.
We provisionally approved the KPFT draft FY23 budget, but it didn't have the tabs. This new spreadsheet has them.
Yes.
All right. So it sounded originally like you were wanting provisionally in there twice, but not.
No.
Okay.
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Is there any other discussion of the agenda? So I'm going to move. What do we do, Arpa? I have to move to amend it. All right. So I will move to amend.
A small thing like that, we can just say we did it.
Good. Glad to hear you say that. Okay. So, any further discussion of these minutes? Hearing none. Is there any objection to approving these minutes? Very good. Understanding that we can revise them in the future if anyone sees a need. Okay. Now that brings us to, I have to go back to my agenda now. I believe that's going to bring us to the executive director's report, but she reported that she is on the phone with corporate counsel. So, I think that we should request that we bypass this for the moment. The next two items on the agenda involve the executive director. She's been doing the financial reports in lieu of the national business manager appearing. So I'm going to move that we unanimously adopted the motion to postpone items number 6 and 7 until the arrival of the executive director, and that we start a discussion of the central services formula in the meantime. Is there any objection to that? Or any discussion of it first? Hearing no discussion, any objection? Hearing none, let's go to a general discussion of the central services formula. I'm going to set this up by saying that we have built in a provisional central services amount of 15% of a station's income for central services in the budgets that we have passed pending ratification of a central services formula by the PNB. Of course, they're waiting for us to bring something to them. And the way I interpret the situation at present, there's two ideas about how we should handle this. And I have used the analogy to taxes because people seem to have adopted that. And so some are saying that we should have what I'm calling a flat tax, which is a 15% assessment of all income from all units to go to central services. And what we have done in the past, the most recent version of central service formula that we passed but was never implemented, we treated it more like an income tax rather than a flat tax, and we had provisions for deductions, exemptions, if you will, in the formula. And I give the example of a KPFK. The KPFK station pays for the air conditioning for the archives, which are housed at KPFK's building. And we gave them an exemption for that because I guess it was easier that way. They didn't have to change the wiring, or maybe I don't know what the reason is that that was traditionally done that way. But we decided to give them an allowance for that. So that's how I see the debate forming up. If any, I'm just going to open it up to general discussion. If anybody wants to add to that, my description of it, or has another description of where we are in the conversation, I'm going to take a stack. Is there anybody who'd like to be heard on this? Hello? I heard Grace. Anybody else? Grace, why don't you go ahead? Maybe we can stimulate some conversation.
No, I didn't say anything.
I thought I heard somebody say this. Okay.
Maybe somebody, but not me.
Okay, I will add to my description of the situation that the executive director has indicated that she favors a flat 15% assessment. I'll say a little more about my frustration that the NFC came up with a somewhat nuanced central services formula, I think it was 2 years ago, and it was never implemented by management at that time. And so we officially have a central services formula now that was never implemented, has not been implemented, and I guess eventually at some point we should sort out who owes what. Although it has been suggested that we should not do that now because we have a delicate financial balance in the network and we don't want to disrupt the income to the national office at a time when several stations are not making central service payments and the national office is in dire need of what revenue they're getting. So I'll make another attempt to see if anybody has any wishes to discuss this. I'm not hearing anybody. Am I being heard?
I hear you.
Okay. Just not getting any conversation.
Beth with a question.
Go ahead, Beth.
Is there a motion on the floor?
There is not.
Oh. So, our poll for a fast little thing that we all know, but which. So, this would then be a flat one, would be 15% of total revenue or some part of revenue or just. I mean, does it go, you know, all the way down to the bottom there, or listener support, or what would the executive director propose we tax in this case?
I have not heard her give a detailed formulation of it. I've just heard her and some on this committee simply say a straight 15%, which I assume would be of all revenue, but we know from the past that we have differentiated between types of revenue. You know, are grants included in revenue? Or, you know, is it just listener support? I want to see if our poll was finished.
No, I'm
Mac
done.
Okay, so I heard Susan and then Mac. Yeah, I hear you, Susan. And then Mac.
Okay.
In our
finance committee meetings, we've been told by Martucha that the standard we needed to meet
and I understand this for quite a period of time, is 15% of listener revenues, listener member revenues, and that things were not adjusted to reflect changes in the level of revenues that we had been receiving. So I think it might be helpful for us to ascertain what the sort of the recent history is about this, and who owes according to what formulas, and who is behind. Personally, I think it's almost as though it's irrelevant, because we're setting up a standard that people are planning to fail to meet. And I think we need to look at how the foundation funds itself, including the central office, because I don't think that the the across the board tax from the stations is working.
Okay, I just got a note for us, a text from Stephanie saying that she's on the call. Are you with us, Stephanie?
Yes, I am. Sorry for the delay. I was on the phone with Arthur.
No worry. I did tell everyone that. And I will tell you how much you were missed. We had to skip over two items, and we were floundering on a third without your presence. So we're very, very glad to have you here. I think we moved to postpone the first two items until Stephanie arrived. Susan, your contribution was very interesting. I want to follow up on that. And someone else, was it Sean McPherson? Sean.
It was Mac. And Susan addressed it more completely. Mine was more of an observation. So long as the formulation, there seems to be some confusion or some question about what the formulation is that gets you to the 15%. A flat tax, there won't be, as you've termed it, would not involve different formulations for different people. There'd be one formulation, and everybody would calculate their revenue or their, quote, tax in the same way. That's all I was
agreed. Agreed. And I get that. And I will also say that I know that calling one a flat tax and the other more of an income tax with deductions and such is kind of a loaded way to describe it. So I'm not married to that. We can find other ways to describe it if anybody wishes to come up with them. It was just an easy shorthand for me to use.
In fairness, the formulation, whatever that is determined to be, should be uniform.
Understood. I understand your sentiment there. Okay. So I heard Susan suggesting that we get some items. Susan, can you reiterate those things that you were asking for? You're seeing a history of who owes who what under what formulation?
Yeah, it would be interesting to me to know for perhaps fiscal years 2021 and 22, what were the bases on which central services payments were being made, and what the assumptions were with each of the stations, and help us then get a little better sense of how these been kind of built into the cellular structure of our operations and budgets.
Right. I agree with that, and we were somewhat surprised to find in the past that some stations were using very old formulas, others were using a middle range of a formula, and others had adopted a newer formula. So we were kind of all over the map, and it was – go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I recall that Markeisha brought up that something that she wanted us on the PNDB to go to bat for was correcting past formulas, past essential services fees that were levied against KPST because they no longer reflected our revenue levels. So there was some sort of a formula that was in place that was applied to some historic revenues, and it'd be useful to see if we can find out what the heck that was.
Yes, and I think that's one of the primary things that we need to do is bring the current amount that's considered due from the stations up to date so that stations aren't paying central services based on revenue that they haven't had for a matter of years. So that is one of our primary objectives here. Whether or not, it's been described as possibly being very difficult to, almost impossible to go back and figure out what people were paying on what basis and how much they should have been paying and figure out what the difference is. Perhaps we can leave that to a future date, or if Markeisha feels that she's up to it, then we'd love to see her make an attempt at that as long as she can get everything else done that she has to do. And we know that she's, especially with Great Plains not being operative, she's got a lot on her plate.
Mr. Chair, if I could follow up, and I think you're bringing up a very, very important point. I'm not looking at an audit. I think kind of like a back of the envelope look at mm-hmm. it might be helpful. And you raise another important issue, which is, what we all owe on an accrual basis. And really, does it make sense to sort of like start over? I would really love to hear recommendations coming from the executive director, I don't think in this meeting, about what might be a new way to look at all of this, because we have sort of wreckage of the past haunting us.
Yes, I'm going to respond to that very briefly, and we're going to then clear the decks here and go back to starting a meeting with the executive director's report, as we should have. I see a consensus emerging, at least among those that are speaking, that we need to get more information and come back to this at another time, hopefully sooner than later.
I would say that, in the past, a lot of the time it's been listed as support and then it was general revenue. And it's sort of moved around a little bit about a percentage of what. I remember at one point it was 17, this is years and years ago, it was 17% of listener support for the national office, 2.5% of listener support for PRA, which meant the total thing was 19.5% of listener support. And then, of course, it did not count things like major donors and other things that didn't officially go into listener support and like that. So it was like that for rather a number of years. But then we started, getting fancier, so to speak. I think the biggest important thing is it getting paid at all. I mean, if we look at the current situation, a lot of stations are just not paying it. So if we come up with a formula that says everybody does X, and then 3/4 or 4/5 don't do X, we've sort of driven ourselves into a pit. So I think that's more important than, a formula per se. That's all. Thank you.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that goes hand in hand with the idea that we're going to get a fresh start this year with something based on the actual income that the stations are getting now as opposed to what they were getting years ago. So I think those two things are the primary things we need to do. And so if we could get if I could get a unanimous approval to close this agenda item now, everybody save their thoughts. We'll come back to this at the next meeting. And let's now turn to the agenda as without this item, and start with the report from the executive director. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. And Stephanie, that leaves you the floor to give us your report.
Before we start, okay. This is Mick joining the meeting.
Hi, James. James McFadden has joined us. Thank you.
Who has joined us?
McFadden.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry, Stephanie. There's one other thing we need to do. No, we did the minutes. Stephanie, we're at your report.
Okay. We will be making payroll this pay period. So that's kind of, I would say 98% confidence that we will be there, which is kind of nice to know since the pay date isn't until December 15th. But so far, the stations have said that they will not have any issues making their deposits on time for that. So we're still, Markeisha and I are still checking in with everybody on a regular basis to make sure that they're still on track and that their projections from their revenue is there. That is, though, still having to then take a close look at what our current concerns are as we're kind of listing at our aged payables and payables of concern, and then just trying to figure out what we pay and you know, what we try to spread out. So they're all still kind of the same sort of payables of concern that are of issue. Allegiance, we still have that as a concern. Our music license ASCAP is still of concern. Our SJC interest payment, which is due on the 31st. But Arthur will be talking with FJC about that and trying to determine what we can do if we don't have the full amount on that. And so he's going to be discussing with them our concerns regarding that we obviously will pay the past due payment, but we may be just a little bit late with that. We have an audit has been requested, not anything that's out of the ordinary, but it's just a little bit more than we had anticipated, Markeisha and I, of our 401(3) pension plan and Pacifica retirement plan. This isn't something that every employee has been is a part of, but there are a list of employees that were kind of grandfathered into these plans. And so that audit, which happens annually, I've spoken with the auditor already, but they did send some requests today, and they want to look at all the records from beginning with 2017 and then subsequent years from that. So I will probably be reaching out to individuals who may have some historical knowledge regarding the 401(3) pension plan and the Pacifica retirement plan, just so, you know, we've been paying into it, so that's not a problem, but just where some of that paperwork might exist. So I am digging through some of our archives materials, but Markeisha and I are both kind of stumped where to find it. But we are having conversations. I have talked with the company that will be doing that audit anyway. We got notification from our SAG-AFTRA reps at KPFK that it's time to renew that union contract. So that needs to be, you have to give us a 30-day notice or 90-day notification before that begins. And so they contacted both Arthur and I regarding that, and we're going to start working on renewing that contract after the holidays. So it's not due until March 2023, but we anticipate that we will be able to get that done by January. The Pacifica Affiliate Network actually started a merchandise store that has some very nice T-shirts and things that are promoting the Pacifica Affiliate Network, and that is on bonfire.com. So if anybody still has some last-minute holiday shopping to do and they want to represent Pacifica, they can go to bonfire.com and type in the Pacifica Network store, and it'll pop up with some very cool T-shirts. We're still working on the server issues. This has been almost like a 48-hour working on that since yesterday, if not even earlier. It appears as if the KPFK
server, which includes the national server, was somehow linked to the archives. And you know, this is why we have our experts with the IT, because I can sit here and, you know, kind of read what they've sent to me and discussions that we've had. But we have found that that is one of the problems right now, is that servers are linked where they shouldn't be linked. And we're trying to, as they've told me, ping where all the problems are, so then we can figure out where these, where the misconnections are. So we're kind of just jerry-rigging KPFK's internet service right now so they can continue to do what they need to do to get on the air. And they are starting their fund drive tomorrow, if not even tonight. But they, so we're trying to just get everything that we can do to get that remedied for them. But it's a much, much bigger, it's a big issue, but we're getting closer to being on the right track. So I, the last test that I had mere moments ago was that someone at KPFK logged into the internet via the archive server. So at least the last two shows can come to us via Zoom. So they're doing everything they can to make sure that it's working. I don't think we have, I'm meeting tomorrow with another, one of the other real estate brokers to look through their assessment package for the KPFK building. So then we'll be able to have both of those. I haven't seen their actual assessment yet, but then once we meet, they will go ahead and forward that to me. So then once I have both of those assessment packages from the brokers, I'll be able to forward that to the national office, and I'm in the national board, and I'm assuming the finance committee as well would want to see those. So, and then at that point, we can start moving forward with whatever broker is chosen. And I think that is basically it on this side for this part. We can probably go into greater details with other things in the executive committee, but I don't think there's anything else per se that needs, if anybody has any questions, they can go ahead and ask.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead with questions, and that's generally where we're spending most of our time these days. Let me take a stab. Who has a question for Stephanie? Grace? Anyone else? I hear you, Grace. Anyone else? I'll put myself on. All right, let's start there, and then we'll come back. Go ahead, Grace.
I didn't catch it. The union contract is with KPFA or KPFK? That needs
KPFK.
To be renewed.
KPFK.
KPFK.
Okay,
yeah. Thank you.
And we, and it's going to be very, very, I mean, it's going to be very simple. So there's no, last time it was renewed officially and signed pretty much the first month, I think, I started. And it had been a 2-year process, I think, to get that going. So that's why it seems odd that all of a sudden we're in the renewal process again. But both parties are very confident that we'll get it done within less than a week.
You done, Grace?
Yes, that's all. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Stephanie, I was curious about how we're doing with the Great Plains situation.
That's the server issue that we're having.
Oh, that's the one you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because the national server is housed in the KPFK building, and it's all in the same area, and that's where it was just determined yesterday that the issue is that the servers are somehow connected to the IP address through the archives. We're not too sure how that happened and how that was connected and how somebody even got access into that to get that done. We think it had something to do with adding some phone lines during a possible fund drive a while ago, but we're not too sure. So
whereas we have one group of people trying to determine how it happened, we have what's more important is just trying to figure out how to make everything work. So the archives has an IT person that's working on it, and he was there all day yesterday and worked until almost midnight, and then it's coming back in again, came back in again this morning, and so there's a whole group of people that are trying to figure it out. And in the meantime, just kind of working around it to make sure that we still, because the KPFK was without internet all day yesterday and pretty much this morning.
Just to follow up, excuse me, briefly. Wow, this really comes out of the blue for me. Nobody's even remotely suggested anything like that in the past. And I thought we were just trying to figure out what was going on with Great Plains that we couldn't get reports out of it. But you're thinking this is the base, because this is what's preventing us from getting reports out of Great Plains?
We haven't been able to get reports because we can't gain access. We've been able to go in, yeah, so we can't just log into it, and then any sort of information that needs to be input into Great Plains, into the national server from the other stations, are unable to do that. So donations would talk to Great Plains, any invoicing would go through there. That's where we would get our aged payables, and nothing is talking to each other because we can't get into the server that houses Great Plains. And that's because this whole time we didn't have the correct IP address because somehow it's linked to the archive IP address.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very. Okay. I mean, it's a mess. But
I'll have some more questions about that when we go to executive session. But let's leave it there for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, this afternoon it was after troubleshooting. This is what John sent me this afternoon. After troubleshooting, we have determined that the PRA network is still connected to KPFK's network and the PNO servers are intermittently functional. The office computers don't have internet and the office computers cannot connect to the KPFK local servers. These remaining issues are all due to the fact that PRA is still connected to the station and the PRA network needs to be disconnected from the KPFK network. So those are the kind of, you know, we've just been kind of going back and forth with things like that all day, and then we don't have the credentials. So what we need to do is make sure that we just want to sort of reset everything, but before we even reset and just say, you know, forgot password, we're doing a whole brand new password, is make sure that everything is backed up on the archives network before we start to reset anything. So that's what their IT person has been working on. So we don't want to, you know, kind of control, alt, delete, and reset everything without them having a backup.
No, don't do that. So this is just one final question from me. Was there something that manifested itself recently, like over the weekend or just in the recent past that has led to this thinking, or was this, I mean, I don't remember hearing that the office computers and all that weren't working for quite some time. So is this something that's just has manifested recently, or was this a consistent situation for some time?
It's been consistent, but I don't think it's ever really been, because the internet has always been really spotty at KPFK. I mean, and usually if you're there, you have to kind of walk around to try to find some place where your computer would work. Or if I'm in the office, I'll just connect it to a hotspot on my phone because there's no internet within the office. So I think it's just been a series of people trying to figure out, okay, a process of elimination. If it's not this, then it's this. If it's not this, then it's this, you know, that kind of thing. And then I think this morning when somebody tried to log on, it popped up that the once they kind of started, I don't even think this morning, but maybe Saturday, they started digging more into the basics, the actual IP address. And that's when it popped up as PRA.org as one of the IP addresses that KPFK was linked to and the national server was linked to. And that's when it was determined that everything is going through the archives.
Got it. Wow. Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? Go ahead, R. Paul. Yes, R. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah. So, okay, so it's going through all of that, and I'm trying to get some idea of this, and I don't want to go into some of that old stuff. I know some old stuff about this. Maybe there's some new things going on, but I'm trying to connect this in my own head here, because I used to do stuff like this, but it was eons ago, and you're saying that somehow everything going through PRA?
It appears the national servers, yes, the national servers have been somehow connected to the IP address associated with the archives.
I wonder if it's a mapping issue. Oh, well. Okay.
If
all right, thank you.
I'm not an IT person, so I'm just kind of, you know, sharing what I'm being told I'm taking. But if anybody has any suggestions or advice, by all means, reach out to myself and I can, or John Amelia, and I can connect everybody to talk together. That's what we've been doing today, is just having a lot of, you know, multiple people in a phone call to try to brainstorm. And I know that Beth had recommended somebody a while ago to help, and we've been calling on him as well. And he was part of the process today and last night to kind of help us through and talk us through. So, you know, if anybody has any advice or suggestions, or sometimes just a fresh outlook on it, we'd appreciate that.
Yeah,
I'm getting frustrated, you know, and I'm trying to keep everybody to relax a little bit, but I know it's extremely frustrating.
Yeah, I used to do IT. I was the guy. However, that was so long ago, the term IT didn't exist yet when I did it. So I would have very old ways of looking at things. I'd start telling people to check their cabling, because I have got to tell you, a lot of times somebody switched a cable. But anyway, so I'm not going to get involved with that. But yeah, I'm seeing that. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that all of them are much more up to date on what they're using now than I would be. So they'll probably figure it out long before I could ever come near it. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Beth to the stack?
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, I'd like to know any update on the issue of the signatory authorities and whether there's been progress made on that in the last week.
Yes, progress is being made, and we have view-only access now to all of the major accounts. We don't have view-only access on some of the, you know, some of the Venmo or PayPal accounts, but we do now have view access to everything else.
Are you done, Beth?
I'm looking. And where do we stand with Allegiance these days?
We still owe them money, and it's just trying to figure out at what point we can start paying them. So no services have been shut off, and they aren't going to turn off our donate buttons or anything like that. So, you know, we worked that out last month. But we do have a substantial amount of funding that is past due, 120 plus days. So it's now just when we have some money that we can start making payments to them.
So I do have further questions about that, but I think I should reserve them for closed session. Thanks.
Beth, I'm going to dovetail a question onto what you asked. Stephanie, is the view-only access that we're getting, is that for the station accounts, or were you talking mostly about the national office accounts?
Station accounts.
Oh, wonderful. That's fantastic. And did you determine whether it was a matter of because the individuals changed?
Yes.
So that's the named individuals that had to be updated?
Correct.
Very good. Wonderful. That's a relief. Glad to hear that. Any other questions?
Yeah, just a clarification. This is Grace.
Go ahead, Grace. Yep.
Yeah, you only access to all the station accounts, except you made some exceptions, Venmo and something else?
There are some accounts that have, some stations that have Venmo or PayPal, and so those we don't. But, for example, the PayPal account at KPFK, we've never had access to that, but any time that, Terry's very good about letting us know what money is in there, and he transfers money often if something needs to be put into the into their bank account. So we have very good open communication with the people that do have access to those accounts.
Okay, and you also have view access only to the archives and the affiliates accounts and KPFK, KPFA, WBAI, et cetera, all the units?
Yes, we've always had access to the archive. We've always had access to the archives, and we have the affiliates at Bank of America. So those we've always been able to have access to. The same with KPFK.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Stephanie, I had another question, which I need to find. One quick question. Has any TA gotten their last payments?
No.
Were they ever paid in full? Not yet. Okay.
No.
Do you know about how much we still owe them?
I believe it's close to a little under 40,000.
And yet they're still helping us. That's
yeah.
Nice to know. That's good. And let's see, what else did I have here? Just making a note about that. This is a memory problem. Did we ever get your capital budget for KPFT for the build out?
No, Arthur has that because he's handling that money. I think in the last national meeting, he had said there's what the dollar amount was that was still left of that account, $38,000, I believe.
I do remember that. We had asked to get a written report on that. Should we ask Arthur directly?
I can get a spreadsheet from him, yeah, because there's some bills that he was paying today that he had paid a portion of it. And so he, in that account, trying to, pull some records of a company that said that we still owe the money, but we really don't. And he has a copy of the canceled check. So he's kind of digging around in that now. So I can ask him for a spreadsheet.
Great. I think that'll go smoother if you do that. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Okay. Anybody else with any other questions? I think everybody is itching here to go look at the Warnock results. anybody else with any other questions for Stephanie's report? Not hearing any. We're going to finish that up about 5 minutes early. But Stephanie, unfortunately for you, you're not off the hook yet. Because the next item on the agenda is the August financials. Remember, you sent that to me, and I asked Beth to send it to the committee. Do you have that handy?
Yes.
Okay. Could you just walk us through that? And I'm trying to remember. When that was sent, that was the transition. That was, I think July was the last P&Ls that we got from NETA. And then we got this for August, and this was the first one without any TA. And I think some people didn't even recognize this necessarily as the P&Ls. But this is what we have for August. And this was basically put together by you and Markeisha?
No, the August financials were actually the last ones that were created by NETA.
Ah, okay.
Those were the August financials. Okay. There was a rough September financials that Julia pulled, but I haven't seen those. It was, I asked them even just to send over the, you know, the whatever that CBS delineated ones, if it wasn't in a complete Excel. But we haven't seen that yet. So the August financials were the last one sent, because usually NETA was about, you know, 3 weeks or so after the close of the last month.
Right.
To put the financials together. So in this spread, yeah, we have the consolidated on the first, and then the first tab, and then the other tabs are the KPFA, KPFT, WBAI, you know, it goes all the way through the other tabs.
Got it. And then pending the correction on the servers, and we get Great Plains moving again, then we'll start to get some more up-to-date financials, right?
Correct. And by then being able to have, you know, as we were talking, I think, last week, of just being able to have access to, you know, visually the bank accounts, then Markeisha and I can put together, you know, we can pull the financials and do the reconciliation every month, because that's, you know, because I'm, our concern, she and I are concerned, is that we're not getting reconciled bank statements from the divisions on a fast enough basis, when it's really not that difficult to get those done in a timely manner. But once you get behind, then it starts to pile up, and we have to have all our reconciled bank statements, you know, prior to when we begin our audit, and we have to start looking at getting those together soon as is. So
I think you also need to know where the money is, because you're scraping together payroll.
Correct.
On a biweekly basis. Yeah. Got it. Thank you for that. So I'm going to, let's give everybody a minute. If you go to your email, it should be at the top of your email. I asked Beth to send this around to everyone for me, because I was trying to get the agenda together. She did that. So if you all go to your email, you'll be able to open up the August financials. Does everybody see that?
Yeah, yeah.
It came from Elizabeth.
Yep. And may I ask, is this what Stephanie says is the last document the last financials provided by NETA?
I see it at 8:13 p.m. is when I got it.
And yes, these were provided by NETA.
Got it. And I guess one of the questions was, I thought we went through this at one point, but I guess with the rapid departure of NETA, maybe I went over it with Julia and we didn't go over it as a committee. Does anyone recall? Okay, no worry. We've got it here now. Okay. Stephanie, are you comfortable walking us through this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what, I mean, I can read numbers.
Kind of speaks for itself, right?
Right, right.
I think it's,
I mean,
maybe for the public.
If anybody has any questions, I can try to, you know, answer those. But on that first page where it says consolidated financials, there's the thing that says central, line 134 down to 147. It has central services, and that's that figure. When I had given everybody the national office budget, there was some lines on the bottom that, you know, somebody had asked what were those, and I was saying that, you know, we're still trying to, even Julia didn't quite know how the central services line items were figured out. If there isn't a good way that they are being monitored. And so if you look on that front page of 134 down to 147, again, it's those same numbers, and they just don't make a lot of sense. So that hopefully, you know, as we move forward, and you were talking about kind of just figuring out what's owed, but in the same time, kind of wiping that clean, we can do a better job of trying to put central service as an actual expense item on each individual's, you know, each division's budget, and then showing it as a revenue line item for everything else, because right now it's sort of showing as an expense, but it's not showing in a lot of these budgets that it's been paid.
Got it. And
that's
just
the question.
Yeah, go ahead, Beth. Oh, before you go, Beth, I just want to say that what we're going to do with this, if as long as we can review this and find that there's no major errors or anything, we'll release this to the general managers, and then they can deal with it with their finance committees, and this will give them something to do pending Great Plains getting back up and running. Not that we're trying to keep them busy, but you know, there have been some requests and some inquiries about what happened with this. So that's our plan of action. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I haven't seen a narrative report with this, and I realized that you know, everything was in transition at that time, but I just thought I'd, before assuming that there wasn't a narrative, I thought I'd ask, was there a narrative to go along with this monthly set of finances?
Have there been narratives in the past with these? I don't know if I've ever seen a budget narrative.
Yes,
sure.
That is
yes.
The status.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, narratives make perfect sense because it's a much easier way than just sitting there and reading numbers. So I don't have a problem getting narratives and writing narratives moving forward.
That's for the spreadsheet challenged among us, who are many, including sometimes me.
Well, at times they can a narrative can help make explicit the dynamics driving changes that may not be apparent in the numbers. You see the numbers change,
yeah,
but it may not be clear why,
right,
and a narrative can
right
help explain that. And especially for those of us who don't spend all day every day with this same set of numbers, it's useful. And that we're coming from different perspectives on this. So I always look for the narrative. Thank you.
I have a quick question. I remember this note up above where under miscellaneous other income for at KPFA, there was a note about ask Maria what happened here. Do we know, did we ever find out? There was a loss.
Yes, and this actually, I don't know all the details, but I do know that there, again, it's delayed bank reconciliations. And so they were just kind of continuing with revenue without reconciling exactly what the revenue was coming in. So it was delayed, you know, again, once you get behind 1 month with the bank reconciliations, and that next month comes up, and that month is not accurate because you had never did it from the month before. And so they were behind in their banks, in reconciling their bank statements. And therefore the revenue started to just get off kilter.
I remember Julia being concerned about that because they were quite behind. Has that been improving?
No.
I see. Well, we can talk about that in closed session if there's any particular issue.
R. Paul for Stan.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, in the income statement here, in this thing, so you're saying that lines 135 through 147, should we just ignore those or something? Because it seems to show that central services is only short a little over 10 grand, and I think it's shorter than that.
Yeah, it's very much, yeah, there's quite a bit of it that hasn't been paid. And this, again, if it just, Julia was always sort of struggling with this as well, based upon the budget pages that are followed, that are following, is that it's not listed when it's not paid. So, for example, if you go to the KPFK page, under the expenses of the KPFK tab, you have central service expenses under, you know, the lines 112 through 115. But
yeah,
none of that, you know, that wasn't paid. So that's
okay, so
showing
the,
as a positive being paid, but it really should be in a negative under the expenses because it has not been paid.
Right. So we're still stumbling along with the accrual of the central services, as we've done for so many years, and it's still screwing us up. Okay. All right.
So what I needed to get with the monthly, with the reports, the weekly report that gets sent to the national board on cash on hand and then past due payables or aged payables, and then the other columns that are the aged payables or past due payables to Central Services Archives and Central Services National Office. Julia had to sort of, right before she left, she did it manually by looking at what should have been paid, what hasn't been paid, because again, it's not being reflected properly in the format that these budgets or the monthly budgets show. So she did it manually, and then she talked me through on how to figure that out. So, but
yeah,
she's still kind of assisting me with that.
I have to tell you, it's never worked out well. It's always had these accruals, screws everybody up. Hold on a second. Pardon me. It screws everybody up, and everybody falls into the trap of thinking, oh, this is showing what's happening when it's not, at least once in their time on the NFC. So I don't know. Maybe we need a new way of doing this entirely because, you know, it's a little bit wacky. But the bottom line of number one, line 152, that 1.4 million in the red, that's is that sort of accurate ish there?
Yes, it is.
Ugh. All right.
Because
thank
when
you
look at just kind of our aged payables in general and the amount of money that was, you know, a lot of our aged payables is kind of pretty similar to that, and just of the amount of money that is owed that should have been paid out to groups.
Okay. I have a question for the chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, so
yes,
can we release this to the public?
Well, that was my next question to Stephanie.
Ah.
So why don't I ask that, and then we'll see. So, and I wanted to also add, Stephanie, that when we had NETA, we had a policy. Previously, we had a policy where the financials came to the chair of this committee, and the chair would mull them over and review them, and then we would come to the NFC meeting, and we would discuss them, and they would be released right prior to the meeting. So we changed that policy so that when the NFC received the financials, it was not just the NFC, but all of the managers of the units received them at the same time. The chair of the board, of the national board, and the executive director, of course, got them all at the same time. And then we reviewed them and made sure that there were no major flaws in them that would send our creditors, you know, running for their bank accounts or, you know, that would cause PR problems or other issues. And is that an acceptable policy for you? I mean, it seemed to be working pretty well, especially in a time when there was a lot of intercompany borrowing and we were, you know, passing money around to keep everybody understanding why we were doing that and what was going on. Is that an acceptable policy for you? Do you think we need to adjust that, or is that good with you?
No, that's fine. That's fine. And I thought that the national board has already seen these, because I think that some finance, possible local finance committees might have seen these, but I might be, you know, confused thinking that they were the July financials they were looking at. But
Well, I said I also thought we had gone through them, and maybe that was
August at this point. You know,
yeah.
I mean, these need to go. These need to go out.
I did have a recollection that we had gone over this, and maybe that's where I got it from going over it with the national board. That could very well be. And again, it was a transitionary period, so things like that are likely to happen. So, yeah, so that, again, that to put a final touch on it. So this, you know, again, once we finish reviewing it tonight and hopefully find that there's no major issues, this would be okay with you if we shared this with the general managers and then they could share with their finance committees, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, that if people know that, you know, this is old, things have changed. This was the last report that we received from NEDA, you know, that kind of thing. And if anybody has any direct questions or comments, they can give me a call.
Right.
Wonderful. I can, you know, walk them through it or answer those questions.
Excellent.
Mr. Chair or Paul?
Go ahead, Arthur.
Yeah. Okay, so they can go to the general managers and all of that. Can we release them to the public? That's been policy in the past, is that, you know, we can release it to the public. Send it to the...
I don't see why not. I mean, we're a nonprofit. Our financials are out there. There's no reason for them not to be out there.
Yeah, and Arpo, I think the whole idea of releasing them to the general managers and, you know, and the treasurers can then release them to the finance committees is that then they would be out there in the public. But then I guess you're asking, can you individually or can anyone else individually send them a press release or, you know, share them with their colleagues? And the answer would be yes.
Okay, so after this meeting, we can send this stuff to the local station boards and the local finance committees.
Correct. That's what we've done.
Thank you.
In the past. Yes.
McFadden of the stack.
Go ahead, McFadden.
So I just trying to look through this and make sure it looks like it's the case that only W and the PRA ended up in the black this last year, correct? All the other stations and the national office are in the red. Is that correct?
At the time of these finances, KPFT is now in the black.
Oh, but this says actual through August, right? So isn't that the end of the fiscal year? September. There's September coming
up. September.
Yeah, okay. That's where I'm. So September maybe will
maybe if he was probably – okay, by the end of the fiscal year, KPFT might have still been in the black, but by very little.
Okay.
I mean, what KPFT might have been in the red, but just by very little.
Yeah, I just forgot about September. So.
Yeah.
That month, it's easily forgotten. All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give everybody another minute to review this.
Come out of the stack.
Go ahead, Kamal.
A general question, not really specific to the financials. And maybe this has already been answered before, but do the general managers in business office or business managers, local business managers, are they responsible for coding their transactions or is that done by your team, Stephanie? Or I guess in this case, NEDA prior to you.
They should be responsible for coding, but not everything had been coded properly in the past. That was just with conversations that I had with Julia. There were sometimes things that once she would look at the financials, then she would have to go through them all
to see why certain numbers were going up, why certain expenses were up, or why certain expenses were not there, and where were they and how were they coded. So there has not been a consistency.
Okay. All right. Quick follow-up. Do we expect to have some training around that with the local stations? Or, I mean, it feels like that would be important to have some continuity.
Oh, it's extremely important, yes. And that's why, you know, up there, even with having check request forms, and that I just don't, you know, we have the stations, and that's not, again, telling the stations they can or cannot pay this or pay that, but just to be able to have a consistent paper trail, which just because an invoice comes in doesn't mean that it needs to be paid ASAP, and then all of a sudden, you know, a week or two later when it shows up as an expense item, we're then going backtracking and saying, what was this for? Who was it for? What is the paperwork for that? But to go through, you know, all of your check requests with the documentation that to support those check requests can be submitted every, you know, Thursday or Friday, and then they get reviewed by Markeisha, they get sent to me. I make sure all the paperwork is there. They're coded properly, sign it off, send it back to Markeisha. Check is issued, goes into the records, and record that a payment has been sent back to the station, rather than the stations just kind of paying things on their own and then us having to go and try to dig up the documentation.
Right. Excellent. Thank you.
Without getting specifics, Stephanie, I'm just going to ask a quick one here, and then I'll get to you, McFadden. Without being specific, Stephanie, how is that going? I know some of the stations don't have business managers. Most of them don't have business managers. Some of them have people that help with that. Others have general managers that do that. How, in general, how is that going?
This is terrible to say, but because we're so far behind in paying payables, it's not like we have this overabundance of check requests. You know, I wish that we could say that I have a stack of check requests sent to me every week, but we don't, because we just don't have the funds to pay people. Markeisha has a great relationship with the people, you know, anybody at the stations that is handling the bill pays and the general managers. And so she's in contact with the stations on a regular basis. And when bills need to be paid, a high percentage of people call up and say, can I pay this? Should we pay this? Should we hold off? That kind of thing. So it's going well.
Good.
But only because we don't have the money to pay stuff. So
bad.
You know, but we do have a check request form, and whenever there's, you know, check requests that are coming through from the national office side, I fill out the check request, put the attached paperwork, send it to Markeisha, you know, so we do have that system in place. Now it's just a matter of kind of making sure that we roll that out to everybody else. But right now,
they're
sending us their bills and asking us to, you know, negotiate for them and for us to make those payments. So we have those check request forms on our side.
I know at my local station, it seems to be going well with Markeisha. That's all good. McFadden.
I just wanted to ask how many of the, which stations were in Fund Drive in September? I don't know if you know that.
I believe everyone was in Fund Drive in September.
Okay, so that could make the end of the fiscal year look a bit better.
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Stephanie, I see at the in the WBAI section that's there's a note about breaking out the major donor income from listener support. Do you know if that was done? I know it's a long time ago.
To my knowledge, it has not. And again, this is a whole revision of some of these forms that need to be made. And I don't know if these forms, because I know that even Julia had talked about wanting to revise some of these because they just don't, you know, listener support versus major donor, then what's a donation? You know, there's just some of these things, and then grant mm-hmm. income, and then we could be have restricted grants, unrestricted, you know, so there are a lot of drop downs and changes in these forms. Even with the expenses, there were things that just didn't really, that needed to be added and weren't there. But I think Julia was under the assumption that these needed to remain the way they were. Or I don't know if the finance committee is the committee that changes these, or, you know, I'm not too sure, but she was not comfortable with these spreadsheets and the GL items.
Do we have a definition of what a major donor is? Is it like over 2,000 a year?
It's anything that's, you know, less than 1,000 a year. A major will admit, you know, it's anything that's greater than 1,000 a year.
1,000, got it. Okay.
You know, but again, does that make sense to just that station? Is that what it should be? Is that really considered a major donor? Are foundations put into that? There's really nothing that has foundations information here. Mm-hmm. So I look at major donors and foundations separately. I think of a major donor as a person and then a foundation as a foundation. I guess
right.
that could be also under grant income as a foundation, but some places have family foundations listed under there. If there's a bequest, that's not listed in here under revenue, even if it's a breakdown under major donor, or if there's, so there are some changes that could be made in that revenue item just to give us a little more clarity.
Yeah, so this is reminiscent.
Add to that too, sort of, underwriting. So that will have to be added to the revenue column.
So this is just pointing out one more time the need for just how scattered we are in the way we do things. And something that's kind of been a theme for me since I came into this was to try to get consistency and uniformity across the network. And it's been very difficult to implement, and I'm glad we're still trying to move in that direction. I know that Netta kind of banged its head against that wall, and I guess eventually sort of gave up. They were continuing to try to make progress, but, you know, they had initially thought we could do it quickly, just for example, with universal and uniform budget templates, but found in practice that was easier said than done. So I guess we're going to continue on a long road to implementing some uniformity, and hopefully sooner the better.
Right. Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, that's the plan. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Hearing no one. Why don't we consider this done, and this can now go to the local finance committees and anywhere else anybody cares to send it. And we can now move on. I think that was the conclusion of our business for the open session. I'm just trying to get back to my agenda. And I see that it was. We already dealt with briefly the central services form and kicked that down the road. So let us now go to number 9, which is adjourned to executive session. Fred, can you take us off the stream?